Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everything in between, welcome to Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. What's up, my dear?
Hello. I'm laughing hysterically because the fact that it hasn't even been a full week since you've been back, and if you listened to last week's episode, we were so in love and just could not wait to get out of the podcast booth so we could get into each other's arms and enjoy each other's company. And yeah, how quickly that changed.
I am in a mood right now. It is not wholly your fault. It is partially.
Why? What did I do?
I'll
get
there.
Please tell me. More, no, get there now.
No, we'll get there when I'm ready to get there.
You can't
pressure me into a conversation.
Terms.
We will have the conversation. However, just listening to our intro song in the studio, as we often do, because it's a requirement by Leah to get in the zone, the podcasting zone, just hearing that damn bark just reaffirmed how angry I am at our dog Pancake.
Ugh, get over it.
Why?
Because he's an innocent little dog, okay?
That pisses
and he has a small
on everything.
Bladder. Well, you know what? You should have taken him to the roof.
I was working.
I was at the dentist, and then I went to the gym, okay? You could have easily taken him to the roof to go to the bathroom. How would you like to be stuck inside all day without a bathroom? He has potty pads, yes, but there's nothing better than going outside and peeing on the outdoor environment.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
For a dog.
Well, I understand that, but...
So you're keeping him cooped up. I could see if you took him outside and then immediately after he comes inside and pisses on something. I can understand that. But he hadn't been out since 7 a.m. He has a bladder the size of a pea.
I was upstairs doing work.
Okay, what were you doing before that?
I was with you.
Okay, what were you doing while I was at the dentist?
I was upstairs doing work.
Okay, now what did you do after
call
that?
For an hour and a half.
You, I also saw you showered. Okay. And then what'd you do after that? Came downstairs and yelled and reprimanded our cute little innocent dog.
I would yell and reprimand you if you peed on the hutch where the TV
belongs. I'm not an animal.
Okay, well, I don't understand why you always stand up for the dog.
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, he did. He's potty trained.
Is he?
I thought he was.
Well, he's not when he has to hold it all day. Anywho, that's why you're in a bad mood?
No, that was just the beginning of my downward
spiral.
Okay,
so then continue here. Please tell me.
We've had this conversation before, how I can tell when your days are coming because you turn into a goddamn hell demon.
What have I done today? Please tell me, other than love you and joke around with you all morning, and I came home from the gym and I'm in a great mood, and I'm like joking around singing songs, that makes me a hellion?
I said hell demon.
Off.
I was more or less referring to when you broke the printer and I asked you what
okay,
you did.
Okay, no, I'm done. I'm breaking up with this podcast. I don't want to do it. You're so annoying. This is what happened. So I'm going to the dentist and I have to print out the new patient form. I bought a printer because another thing that happens in this relationship, you list things we need. Oh, babe, we need one of these for the house. Or we need this. We need that. And guess how we get it? Because I purchase it. Because I go out of my way to make sure we get the things that we need for our home. You said, we need a printer because I need to print some stuff out. 2 days later, shows up on the doorstep. How does it get there? Not by the printer angels. No, from this angel right here in front of you, I bought the damn printer. 6 months go by, you don't print anything out, but you needed this printer so bad. Okay, so now we have the printer and so you printed something. No, let me finish.
Pause here for a sidebar.
What?
Me needing to print something out one time never necessarily meant we needed to purchase a printer.
Well, you did say we needed a printer. So I thought, you know what? He needs a printer. I'm going to get my man a printer. Because if he needs to print something, I don't want him to have to be without.
Okay.
That's me.
And that
being
was a nice gesture.
Right.
But how am I at fault now? You're
now
throwing
listen,
it back at me.
Let me finish before I was so rudely interrupted. So you had to print something out last week. Cool. It's Bluetooth, hooked it up, worked fine. I had to print something out today. my paperwork for the dentist. So I go upstairs by myself. Don't ask for any help. Don't say, hey, babe, follow me up the stairs and come into the office so you can help me with the printer. No, I go in there because I want to figure it out on my own. And guess what? Do you know how many times I set up printers growing up in my parents' homes?
Was it like a regular occurrence?
Yes, because our printer would always break and I'd have to figure it. You have to troubleshoot and, you know, change the ink and do the whole thing. HP, Hewlett Packard. So I go upstairs by myself. Oh, mama, sir. I try to connect to Bluetooth, and for whatever reason, it's not even working. I didn't even take 2 seconds before I'm trying to look at the printer. Mind you, it's my first time looking at this brand new printer. 2 seconds go by, and all of a sudden, Matt is in the room. Hey, I'm going to do this. You got to press this. Oh, let's check this. Got to check that. He comes right in, pulls the tray out, looks at it, puts it back in. And I'm thinking, I don't know if there's enough paper in there. Because, you know, if there's not a thick enough stack of paper, sometimes the printer can't grab it. So he comes in and starts around the thing, and I'm sitting there like, I can't even touch, I can't even get in it. I'm sorry, did you need to print something out, or did I ask for your help? No. So now he's trying to play around with it and it's not working, and I press like some button. He's like, what'd you do to it? And I was like, I did nothing, because you're the one f***ing with the printer, not me. Finally, we got it to work. I printed my paperwork out. Cool, whatever. I go brush my teeth like a million times because, you know, you have to do that before you go to the dentist so you don't have any plaque or food between your teeth. And he comes in and he starts telling me some story about whatever. And I'm kind of being short with him because I'm annoyed. Let me print my own paper. Otherwise, I would have just asked you. And he sits there and he acts like he knows everything. And he's basically the printer god. And I'm the little peasant kissing his little ink toes. And that's what really pissed me off.
But you needed help.
No, I didn't, because I could have done it. You gave me 2 seconds. And that's why I was just so annoyed, and that pissed me off. And then you blame me.
I didn't blame anybody.
Yes, you specifically said,
what did you do to it?
What do you mean, what did I do? I didn't even touch it.
Your hands were on the printer when I walked in, so I was asking.
Oh, my God. And then after your hands were all on it, you're taking the tray out, you're pressing buttons, you're opening the scanner as if the scanner part is going to help it print. No. The whole situation annoyed me because I had it. I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
I don't think you're dumb
at all. Yeah, but you think I am because you're the smartest guy in every room. And that's why you're annoyed? Because you f***ed with my printing process?
I am not annoyed. I just know because I've never encountered someone who does a complete 180 personality change for 2 days prior to those days. That's why I know, first thing in the morning, you don't need to say anything. Well, I don't feel like we need to be overly graphic. I think everyone listening to this understands what we're talking about. We're all grown adults here.
We don't need to say...
Period!
Those days.
Period!
Those
Period!
Days.
Lady days! Surfing the crimson wave! What else do you want me to throw at you? I was trying to be nice. But anyway, you'd become somebody else, and I've learned to let it slide.
Okay, but I didn't become anybody else. The last few days, yesterday, I was definitely exhausted. I was tired, but I was not rude. I was not a bitch. And today, I was not rude at all until you f***ed with the printer, and then that's when I became rude. You say make 180, like as if I turn into this demon, like you said, which is so not true. You're painting this terrible, inaccurate picture of me.
It was a hyperbole. Your entire demeanor, everything about you changes. You're not necessarily always mean, but you're very on edge. You're very lethargic.
Yes.
You don't want to talk or be social. You just want to be left alone.
Yesterday, yes. And yesterday we got along fine and we had a great day. Today, I was not a bitch. I did not want to be left alone. Hung out with you all morning. Came home from the gym, was in a great mood. I was dancing, singing show tunes to you.
I just got done telling you that the dog annoyed me.
But then you just said you've been dealing with the hell demon for the last 2 days. See, you say things and then you forget you say them.
I mean, maybe that's true.
Thank you. Mic drop.
I did say you were a hell demon.
Right, but how?
Maybe it was an inaccurate choice of words. You are not the Leah that I know and loved 6 days ago.
I'm not perfect, no. And I don't ever claim to be.
No.
And if for 2 days I become a little quiet and want to be left the hell alone, then so be it.
Next time you want to print something out, just ask the print master.
I didn't need your help!
You do need my help. A lot of people need our help, collectively. And you mentioned the magic words that you're not perfect, because the truth is none of us are. And I think it helps all of us involved to be a little introspective at times.
Sure.
Because we do all know, despite what we want to believe, self-included. And I think it helps our relationship, and I imagine many relationships, to take a look inside yourself as opposed to constantly blaming the other person, because we can do that all day long, like Leah blaming me for the printer not working when she was too inept to utilize it. But that's neither here nor there.
You're making my skin crawl.
You got to look inside yourself and realize what your flaws are, what your insecurities are. And to that point, we've gotten several emails in the official Bear With Us email mailbox regarding similar subjects. So rather than answer them all individually on repeat, it's kind of going to be the overarching theme. The insecurities and flaws in ourselves and how we deal with them in order to be better for your partner. And just to show you how imperfect I know I am, I will start. I am quick to anger or irritation. I wouldn't say anger. I don't get angry too often, but I get irritated very easily.
Yeah.
And that's something I've had to work on for years, particularly when having kids, because kids don't always work out the way you expect them to, or they don't act how you would love them to all the time. And my patience has definitely gotten better over the years.
Wow.
Which I know, shocker, right? Because I still need to do a lot of work on that. But my patience isn't the best. But knowing that, I'm much more apt to sit and listen when you go on a rant, much like you just did, or express your feelings. And I think I've gotten better as far as trying to stop you in the middle of a thought, the interruption part. Like, mm-hmm. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I've learned let you get it out.
Right.
And then I'll counterpoint.
Sure.
Otherwise, you'll say, well, this happened. And I'll go, well, that wasn't the case. And then it's just a long, vicious
big
cycle.
Battle. Yeah.
And the argument goes on and on and on and on. So maybe this is a lesson to be learned, how to argue. If your partner's pissed at you, let them vent. Let them say their piece. As bad as it irks you and annoys you, and you may disagree with every syllable coming out of their lips, once they get their thoughts out, they're now more ready to listen to your response.
Right.
Or slam the door and walk away and win the argument, which
is a good
tactic.
But to your point, if you're like in the middle of an argument and say you're saying what you want to say, I'm not even listening because I'm waiting to say what I want to say. But
fair.
I think it's important, if that's how we know we communicate when we're not agreeing, to let the other person say everything they have to say or write it down or something so you're not forgetting, because you're not going to listen to what the other person has to say. You're just, like, to your point, going to just interrupt them and say, well, that's not true. No, you wasn't like that. You have to let the other person finish before you can move on.
Yeah, like I have an entire memo on my phone of things Leah does to piss me off, but you can't get in there because you don't have my password. Boom, callback. That was a joke, complete joke. This is going to be a long day, long episode.
I'm not laughing.
Trying to add a little levity to the situation. But yeah, my patience sucks, and I am well aware of that. So I am learning.
I'm proud of you.
To address things a little bit differently. And that's not always going to have a 100% success rate, but it's something to be aware of, because if you're aware of a flaw in yourself and your partner points it out or has some sort of issue related to it, it's not all of a sudden mind-blowing, like they just dropped some bomb on you, like you have this problem you never realized you had.
Right.
I feel like if you're introspective enough to go, oh, I suck at this, or I need to work on that, or this thing about me drives me nuts, I imagine it probably drives him or her nuts too. It kind of gives you at least a little bit of, I don't want to say ammunition, but you're at least a little better prepared for when a conflict finally happens.
It's important to be self-aware, because even if I'm trying to point something out to you that maybe you do that irks me and you're not aware of it, you could at least understand where I'm coming from, and you can be like, okay, well, I know I do this, so maybe that is something I'm doing, but I'm not sure.
Right.
Like you said, no one is perfect. It's important to recognize our faults and our flaws in ourselves so it can be better for our partner.
You're up.
I actually made a list, so let's see.
Oh, wow.
This is definitely the biggest flaw that I have, other than interrupting, which we've been there before. I understand I interrupt, and I'm trying to work on that. But again, when I think of something, I don't want to forget it, so I have to just get it out because I'm going to forget. Anywho, my biggest flaw is the fact that I can't hide my moods. I can't. And this is obviously something that we just discussed.
Wow.
It's so difficult for me to hide if I'm in a bad mood. It's difficult for me to hide if I'm annoyed. It's difficult for me to hide if I'm sad. What you see is what you get. And if I can't get it out and I can't express it, whether I'm being a bitch to you or this hell demon you're saying, or I should just come out and say, I'm in a bad mood right now. Don't talk to me. Like, whatever you do, I don't care if you're kissing my feet. I'm going to be so annoyed with you. That's it. Just leave me alone. And I need to get out of my mood. I hate it. I hate it. Like, when I'm at work, I get like that. When I'm around my friends, I can get like that. Especially if I'm tired and I'm somewhere I don't want to be. I can't get out of it. And I can't hide it. I can't pretend. I'm not someone who can fake small talk. I can't fake like I'm interested because I just look completely uninterested. And that's something I've tried to work on over the years, but I just can't stop it.
I could, don't disagree with anything that you're saying, but is there, it's not so much that like you should need to hide your moods. I think if you were more open and honest about your moods rather than, like, you physically and emotionally don't hide them. Like, I can tell by the time you get to the bottom of the stairs what kind of mood you're in by the way you're carrying yourself, by the expression on your face. But when I see that, rather than even teeter on the verge of conflict, I just back off and I go, okay, the hell demon is here. And I just ignore, I don't want to say ignore you, but I just remove myself from the situation because I know now there's not a damn thing on the planet I can do right now to change things.
With you, it's different because we're around each other all the time. If it's a friend or something, I feel like they would understand if I'm in a bad mood and, you know, oh, sorry, dude, I'm just having a bad day. And that's it. And I feel like any girl would understand that. And
right. But I think there's like an inherent, like an instinct that if your partner's feeling down, you want to go, your instinct, my instinct is to, okay, I like to make everything better with laughter, right? That's that's my go-to. I can just try to make a joke.
That's how
or
I am too.
Silly or stupid. But I quickly learned that I could throw the best zinger your way if you're in one of your moods, and it gets met with just apathy and anger. And so I've learned to just ignore
just leave
you,
me
basically.
Alone. Yeah, that's all I need to do. Leave me alone. Even yesterday, I was just so tired all day, and I don't know why. And I realized I was being quiet and sort of standoffish. I wouldn't say I was being a bitch, and
no.
I think I'm pretty self-aware. I know I wasn't being a bitch. But then, you know, I went and took a nap, and I came back, and I was like, babe, I'm sorry I'm being such a slug today. Because then I was ready to sort of get back into the groove of just being me and you. But for a few hours, I just wanted to be left alone.
Sure.
And that was that. But I think you handle it perfectly. And that's why I'm so grateful and lucky to have you.
See, look at that. There's another 180 in the right direction. You're no longer a hell demon at this very moment.
Okay, what's the next thing about you that you don't like?
That I'm always right.
If I could pinpoint one thing about you that drives me insane, it's that. Because you don't bother me or annoy me ever, but that irks me.
Well, is it a problem that I'm always right or that you don't like to be wrong?
No, that you think you're right. Because you're not always right.
I know I am not always right. However, I fancy myself a pretty smart guy, and I can generally read situations, and if I don't know the answer to something, I'll do my damnedest to figure it out. Whether that be looking it up on my phone or researching things. I'm still old school in the way where I go, oh, I don't know anything about that. Even if it's minutia, and I'll go, I'm going to spend an hour reading Wikipedia or something about whatever subject that is. I just like to be knowledgeable.
No, you like to prove everyone wrong.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I like to be armed with the ability to prove people wrong. I get off on that a little bit. I like to bust people's bubbles.
Ugh.
Well,
like, just let people think what they want.
But see, that's the problem.
Who cares? Why do you always have to argue and just to prove I'm right, you're wrong, I'm big, you're small, I'm smart, you're stupid?
Because if you allow everyone to just think what they want, the whole world will go mad.
Sure. And
case in point,
but,
right now.
Right, but pick your battles. Not everything is so important that you have to prove wrong. Like, oh, that, I don't know, something so minuscule, like the color of a...
Give me an example
flag
of something minuscule or minute that I've wasted energy on.
The printer.
What was I trying to prove? I was
to
trying to help
that
you out.
You know how to do the printer and I don't.
That was not it at all.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to help you because I had used the printer successfully last week.
Okay, and why can't I figure it out on my own? And I feel like a lot of times that's our arguments. because you don't let me figure things out. It's because you're, oh, I know, here it is. I know how to do it. This is how you do it. Or I know what the answer to that because I already looked it up because I know everything. I'm the smartest guy in this room right now. Rather than just like, oh, you know what, babe, you figure it out. Like, let me. I'm not dumb. Other than I love you or let me put my finger in your butt, this is the other thing that I say the most. I'm not dumb. I feel like I always have to prove that to you.
And I don't agree with that at all. Like, I wouldn't still be with you if I thought you were dumb. If I didn't think you were my intellectual equal as far as street smarts and everything.
You had to get that in there.
No. I'm trying to clarify because everybody misconstrues everything. If you don't spell every syllable out perfectly, people will go, oh, well, yeah, but you used that word wrong. You missed the point. And that's a societal problem. It's not just between you and me. It's not just in relationships. People don't pay attention to what you said earlier. When some people are talking, if you're not engaged in the conversation, you're not hearing anything until it's your turn to speak.
Yes.
And it's like that movie we were talking about the other day. If you listen to somebody, somebody's going to be more inclined to like you, even if they don't know anything about you, because people automatically assume and accept what they want to hear and believe. I have been on the wrong end of that too many times in my life to maybe I am an over-explainer. I'll take that 100 times out of 100. You and I have had this conversation in bed, just laying there talking. The first time you'd intimated to me, like, oh, that's kind of annoying when you do that. It's not something I do intentionally. It's not like I go, I'm going to walk into this room and I'm going to teach everybody every little detail about
things. No, and I know that's not your intention.
But I have this issue, if you want to call it that, and it's not by choice. Maybe I'm just hanging out in the wrong rooms, but I feel like I'm usually one of, if not the smartest guy in the room.
Okay, but why does that even have to be a thing? Why does that have to be a thing where you feel like I'm the smartest guy? Like, is that some deep-rooted
issue
that you feel like it's a thing you have to constantly think about?
And I'm not trying to prove it. It's something inherent that I feel where if I don't believe that you understand what I'm trying to convey to you, I'm not doing a good enough job of conveying it. And if I don't feel that you understand and accept what I am trying to get across, then I still feel like it's on me. I'm not going, oh, well, you're just stupid not getting it. I go, I need to tell you this. So what if I told you this way or if I gave you that example? That's just how I'm wired. And I don't, it's not a conscious thing. It's not like some result of trauma or I'm a smart kid growing up. You know what I mean? I don't feel the need to prove that I'm smart. It's just an inherent feeling in my guts when I walk in there. And it's not about everything. If I know that there's something that I'm not educated on, I'm more than willing to just step back and give anybody else the floor. It's just when someone tries to argue with me, I can accept a tie in an argument where I go, okay, I meant this and you meant that. Okay, cool. We're on the same page. Great. Cool. Conversation's done. Well, that could be about anything. We don't have to come to an agreement, but to be on the same page and just kind of, and I just feel like that's hard to find. And that's not just in a relationship. That's inherently me, but it drives me nuts. I would love to wake up in the morning and be one of these people that go, oh, it was on the news, so it must be true. Or, oh, I read the headline on the internet, must be the facts, and just go about my day.
But I think that way, and I don't think I'm the smartest person in every room.
But that's what I'm saying is you have the ability to see a little blurb of information and go, oh, I'm going to commit that to some space in my
brain.
No,
I'm saying that I'm not thinking that. I'm not reading that, reading a headline on the internet and believing it to be true. I get what you're saying. I'm not arguing with your point. You've been explaining it for quite a while.
I'm not explaining it to you. I'm explaining it to the people that are listening to this.
Okay, well, they're probably
cool. Overhearing
your topic.
Because I was trying to explain why I think I am the way I am.
Cool. And I am, it all makes sense.
It's
not a bad thing.
I'll come up with it in a more concise manner.
No, it's not necessary, but I was just trying to give you a little like, got it, babe.
I know you got it.
Right. But I think they got it.
We have a podcast.
Right. But we also have other things to get to.
Oh, we need to talk more about you.
No. Right, you think I want to talk about my flaws?
Continue.
No.
I do. Let's go.
Okay. Something that annoys me about myself is that I like to be on my own schedule. I like to do things when I want to do them, how I want to do them, and I like to have a plan for things. So when something comes up unannounced or something that wasn't part of the plan, I get anxious about it. Oh, well, I didn't know that that was a plan. Like, for example, a couple weeks ago, we were just hanging out, and I thought the plan was to just hang out at home, make dinner, have some drinks on the couch, chill. And then one of your buddies texted you, and you're like, oh, I told him that we would go out and have drinks with him. And I'm like, well, you never told me that, even though you knew about it that morning. Normally, like, I feel like a normal person, I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, that's fine. I'll just go do that instead. But for me, I have this anxiety when things get thrown off of the schedule that I originally thought I had. And I had nothing to do that day. It's not like I had to be here, there, or anywhere. I went and worked out on my own time, did my own thing, and this was later on in the evening. Nothing was holding me back from being like, yeah, sure, let's go out and have some drinks with him. For whatever reason, stressed me out. Didn't it? You got annoyed.
I was extremely annoyed. Right. Because we had no plans. So my, you know, go with the flow sort of mentality was like, oh, we got nothing to do. Right. We have no need to be anywhere particular. Rather than sit on the couch another day, let's go be social.
I mean, that's something that I've dealt with for a long time. I cancel plans all the time. If I make a, oh, yeah, sure, let's do this. But a lot of times I'm not fully committing if it's someone says something in passing, like, oh, what do you think about doing that next week? Oh, sure, yeah, sounds good. And then it becomes next week. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. It just sounds so much better to sit at home with my dog. So I can't help it. I mean, I'm trying to get better with it.
The issue is never once we're out doing anything. Once we're out and in it, you're great, always.
Totally.
It's the lead up, too.
Right.
It's that hour, like when you're getting ready and you clearly don't want to be, and every breath is a huff and the eyes.
Okay, that happened once.
Twice.
No.
Okay.
When. Yes, babe, because then when I agreed to go out for drinks with your friend, I was like, sure, let's go. And then I got ready, we had fun, and then when we were out, I was like, let's go here and let's go there. We had a great time. I didn't huff and puff. Is there anything else that annoys you about yourself? Or do you want to start talking about things that annoy you about me?
No, we already had an episode about that. It's in the archives. If you haven't already found it, go check it out in the Bear With Us podcast archives, wherever you're getting your podcasts.
What about some, like, just insecurities? Is there anything that you feel insecure about?
I hate my smile.
You hate your smile?
I hate it.
Why?
That's why I try not to do it.
Why? I love your smile.
Always hated it. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like my smile. I don't like my teeth. Got a bad tooth-to-gum ratio.
Stop!
I'm like Gina Davis with a dick. Yeah. I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. Hate my.
I love your
smile.
I love
the only time
smile.
I smile, if you notice, like, where I'll show my teeth is if I'm actually laughing.
Okay.
Because I'm very self-conscious about that.
Well.
And now everyone that doesn't like me in the work world is going to use this as ammunition against me.
Gum.
Yeah.
I love your smile.
Okay.
You know I'm very self-conscious about the bags under my eyes.
Right.
I hate them. It took me a long, long time to be able to just feel confident without makeup. But I'm finally there where I'm like, it. Who cares if people don't like the bags under my eyes? And another thing I'm very self-conscious about are my veins in my forehead. Like, I have a very veiny forehead. And when I laugh or when I cry or when I'm, like, working out or something, the veins really pop out.
You should just tell people you got a really jacked forehead.
Well, so I'll never forget. And I never realized it was a thing until I think I was in 6th or 7th grade. It was in computer class. And this girl next to me had one of her other girlfriends come sit next to her, and I'm a V, last name is V, so I'm like at the end of the alphabet, and she was W. I'm not going to call her out because it is what it is. So she's sitting next to me, and then she had another girl come sit next to her. And all of a sudden, I hear her say, oh my gosh, Ashley, don't you just hate it when people's veins stick out of their foreheads? And Ashley was like, oh my God, I know, it's so gross. And I remember sitting there being like, oh my God. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. And then I went home and I, like, cut my bangs so you could hide my forehead. How embarrassing. And fuck those bitches. You know what they're doing now? Absolutely nothing.
I don't know. Like, I've been thinking about this since yesterday when I was like, hey, wouldn't it be fun to talk about these sort of things?
Yeah.
Those are, like, my main things that I'm aware of.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there are plenty of other things that I do that drive other people nuts or might drive you nuts that haven't yet reared their ugly head. But
well, here's
that
the thing.
I'm aware of.
No one's f***ing perfect. And if you say you're perfect, you're a f***ing liar. So, I mean, we all have flaws. And I think the more we can be self-aware of them and work on things, or just know that what we do, we know it's annoying or we know it's wrong. Sometimes you can't change and you have to be able to live with the flaws or be with someone who can put up with them. And I'm grateful that you do put up with my flaws, because I know it can be a pain in the ass. But the fact that you put up with me makes me love you even more.
Well, I love you too. And the preferred nomenclature is Hell Demon. Just to piggyback on your point that if you're no good to yourself, you're not going to be good to anybody else. So look inside yourself constantly. I've been reading a lot of stoicism and meditation, and that's kind of what the genesis of all this was like, yeah, it's a lot easier to say, yo, I'm fine, I'm perfect, and believe that lie. But like, if you look inside yourself constantly and realize where your shortcomings are and what you suck at and what you're good at and what you can get better at, going to be a hell of a lot more valuable to other people once you're valuable to yourself.
Exactly. You have to help yourself before you can help anybody else.
All right.
Here's a mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
I think we're going to have to get JR or somebody to make us a mail song.
Babe. I want to sing the mail song.
That's the Blues Clues song.
I'm a good singer.
Oh, by the way, remember when you tried to convince everybody that listens to this that Steve from Blues Clues was dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank God some people did some research. Apparently he's in some kind of kick-ass award-winning band of some sort.
He's in a band?
Yeah. I read that. I might have read that in either Emilio, our producer, or one of the emails in the mailbag smartened me up to that fact. See what happens? See what happens when I just say, oh, well, Leah said so. It must be true.
It makes an ass out of you and me. All right, we find our first paw print, and that's our first clue. We open up our notebook, and you know what to do.
You think Blue pissed all over the house?
You know what? I bet he did. And that's okay, because he still got Magenta, and she was a bad bitch. Anywho, question number one, honey. I've been in this situationship with a guy for almost 4 years. He's been my first and only. He told me, although they really like me, he wasn't ready to be with me because of my weight. Oof, that makes me mad. We've been through so much, even many arguments, and I've watched other women come in the picture. Although I know I should move on, I find it hard because everything is familiar. How do I get through this? F*** that guy if he doesn't like you because of your weight. You don't need to look any certain way. And if he has feelings for you, he should like you for who you are and what's inside. He obviously knows you and sees what you look like. So the fact that he feels like he can't be with you because you're overweight, I don't like that. And f*** that guy. He's not the guy for you.
That was super aggro.
Period.
Super aggressive.
Well, that makes me so mad.
Understandable.
If you were like, hey, I can't be with you anymore because you're overweight.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that is a bit shallow. However, playing devil's advocate, as I tend to do, and also looking at things from a different point of view, if the only hang up for this, the relationship, was weight, if you really wanted to be with this person that badly, maybe this is one of those instances where you look inside yourself and go, hey, I love everything about this person. Maybe I will do this for my own well-being as well as for the good of the relationship. However, I feel as though if that in particular is brought up, the relationship's as good as gone anyway. Like, there's, if someone uses that as an excuse, it's not worth
pursuing. Right. If it's something that you feel you need to do for yourself, or like Matt's saying, if you feel like, hey, I wanted to get in better shape, or I want to do this for myself, that's one thing. But you shouldn't do anything for a man.
Right.
If that's what he's requesting from you.
And if it's a relationship that is like endured some time and it's kind of like, oh, hey, honey, let's go work out together or something along those lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fine. Like, let's try to be healthy together and feel like we're doing something together at the same time.
If it's a case where, okay, you've always kind of been on the cusp and almost there, and you hook up here and there or do whatever it is that you do, but that's already been put out there as a hang-up, I don't think it's worth pursuing. I think you just kind of cut your losses and move on and find someone who loves to be with you however you are.
And I get a lot of times when you're, you know, in this in-between phase, you have feelings, and like you said, he feels familiar, and I promise you, you'll find someone else. I promise you'll find someone else to make a new familiar with. I promise you. And it always feels like when you're in it, oh my gosh, how will I ever find someone that will be able to understand me or get me or laugh at my jokes or we have this much fun together? You think that that person is it, but I promise you they are not, and you'll be able to find someone else. I promise.
It makes me think of this quote that I used to know for some reason, that you can't get to the future if the past is still present.
So like
sometimes
that.
You just got to cut your losses and move on.
Yeah. Move the f*** on and tell that guy to go eat a donut. Anywho, question number two, honey. My boyfriend and I were on and off in high school, and we became a serious relationship 2 years ago. In high school, he would disconnect from me and give other things and people, including girls, his attention, resulting in a breakup. He was young and dumb back then, and he has really turned things around and treats me like a queen now. However, there are times where I feel like his attention is pulled, and it gets me nervous that it might happen again. Can you guys please help a bitch out? Also, I'm obsessed with this podcast. You guys rock.
Well, thank you. We're obsessed with you because you listen and keep us going and growing this show. I'm going to start this one out. Just like the point that I just made referring to hanging out with exes or anything of the like, you can't get to the future if the past is still present. However, if this guy is treating you well now, if he treats you like a queen, as you said, maybe it was just maturity. I mean, I'm not the same guy that I was at 24 when I got married. I wasn't the same guy when I got divorced that I was when I got married. I wasn't the guy at 21 years old that I was at 24 when I got married. You know what I mean? People grow and change and evolve. So to be hung up on a fear of something that could have happened or something could happen again, that's not unreasonable. It just kind of depends on the severity of things. You said, okay, he gave other things, including girls, his attention. If you want all of your dude's attention all the time, that's a problem.
But he should not be giving his attention to other girls now.
Agreed. That one, I was getting there.
Okay, just making sure we're clear.
If you're worried about the girl thing, totally reasonable. You don't want to get burned more than once. Totally get the girls in particular.
Yes.
But if you're mad because your guy wants to hang out with his friends once in a while, or because he likes to watch baseball, or he has a hobby or something or anything that takes time, maybe he likes his job and works a lot, you can't expect to have all of their attention all the time. But on the other side, if he is markedly improved from when you used to know him or your relationship in the past, and it's on you that you're worried that something could relapse, so to speak, then I think you need to just kind of focus on what you have in front of you and what you guys have ahead of you, as opposed to worrying about what was, because we've all got pasts.
Yeah, and I feel like you're just kind of looking for something that's not even there. You're creating these issues and problems that aren't even a thing. And I know that that is something that can cause relationships to crumble. The fact that you're worrying about something. Oh, well, what if he does this? What if he goes back to his old way? Well, you know what? He's not. And you just have to have faith and trust in him. And if you don't, then maybe he's not the right guy for you. If you don't feel like, oh, wow, I can 100% trust him, and I think that, you know, what he's doing is okay and I'm okay with it, then you shouldn't be with him. I'm not saying that every relationship is perfect or that you're never going to have like that little fear or something. Once in a while, I get that. But if you're creating problems that are not there, then that's going to just sabotage your entire relationship.
You need to be vigilant, but very open-minded.
And I think that's something that you and I have discussed before, just certain things or issues we've dealt with in our past relationships that we carry over to our current relationship. Oh, well, you know, this guy I was with acted like this and did that. And sometimes I like have that fear with you and I'm like, oh my gosh, but it's so not the same. And that again will sabotage relationships.
Right. But even to expand on that, the fact that you have a past, I have a past, things that we have done in our lives prior to one another should not be held against each other, period.
Sure.
Because if you go deep enough into anyone's history, there's some red flag or some stupid decision or something that just may have changed. I might have been really into one thing, or you might have liked this at the time. But to focus too much on your past, other than to draw from why you are the way you are,
right, and learning from it,
it doesn't do anybody any good, because you could look and go, I don't ask questions because I don't want to know the answers, because all it's going to do is ask more questions. And I go, it may have happened. Just try to change the subject. I don't know if that's the right way to handle it, but that's how I deal with it.
But the past is the past for a reason. And like you said, we could have made mistakes, or, you know, if you did made a mistake with any of your exes, or same with me, like, I was in that relationship and doing those things for a reason. That's a different relationship than what I'm in now. And I was a different person then than I am now. Like, everyone makes mistakes, and you can't hold each other accountable for things that have happened in the past, you know?
Correct. Prior to your...
Right. I take what we're doing in our relationship from being in our relationship. I can't think about stuff that my ex has done and be like, oh, you know, what if Matt does this? Well, no. Like, that's so unrelated.
Also, you forgot what we spent the first part of the show talking about, that I am flawless and perfect. So there's that.
And here I was, finally just getting out of my little funk and just looking at you and thinking how much I love you and how handsome you are. And, you know, the printer feels like a thing in the past.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go home and print a spreadsheet or two.
Just don't to spite expect you. My help.
Good. I don't want it. But we do need your help. If you're listening to this, if you haven't already, wherever you get your podcasts, leave us some reviews. Give us a whole bunch of stars if you're on Apple Podcasts.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Tell a friend about this great podcast with two blithering idiots who talk about funny relationship things for way
funny?
Too long.
I don't know if it's funny.
It's funny to us, which is all that really matters. I mean, this basically is an exercise in our own entertainment.
Right.
So if it helps some people along the way, bonus.
Cool.
So subscribe, throw us some stars, send us an email in the Bear With Us mailbox, which is bearwithuspod@gmail.com, or send us some messages on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you're using your social media. We pay attention to it, and it helps us give you what you want.
We'll give you what you want, what you really, really want. I want to, I want to, I want to, I want to, I want to really, really, really good podcast.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.
Nailed it. Surfing the crimson wave.